listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Welcome to the American Pharmacists Association's 2024 podcast coverage of the annual meeting and exposition held on March 22nd through 25th in Orlando, Florida. This year's theme, Unleashing the Power of Pharmacy, was designed to empower pharmacists to embrace your role as change agents and help revolutionize the profession. This is the APHA Podcast Power of Pharmacy Post Show in collaboration with the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Dean Munsterman and the Senior National Account Manager at Insulet Corporation, the parent company of Omnipod, talks with Todd Urey about advanced technologies in diabetes management.
If you're in the pharmacy profession and you are caring for patients in community pharmacy and long-term care, diabetes as a major, major chronic disease that we're focusing on, we have to have technology partners that support us. And Dean, you are one of those partners. Would you introduce yourself to the APHA 2024 podcast coverage?
Awesome. Thanks for having me here. I am Dean Munsterman, Senior National Account Manager for Omnipod. Happy to be here and represent Omnipod and support the pharmacy community.
We're excited to have you here. Was it the APHA, the NCPA? I can't remember what conference that we first met at. Which one was it we first met?
It's been a little while, but I think it was probably APHA. But it was a good day when I got a chance to meet you and see what you're doing. You guys are doing good work.
How has the conference been for you in 2024 this year?
I think it's been fantastic. I think one of the things that myself and my colleagues have been talking about is that, for many pharmacists, they're new to Omnipod as a technology, as an innovation. Many may not have known previously that we're the tubeless disposal insulin pump available in pharmacy. What we've noticed is, a couple of years ago, we were just explaining the basic concepts of what we were, what we do, and now we're seeing pharmacists come, and they're a little bit more knowledgeable, and they're asking amazing questions, and really wanting to dive into the technology, and it's exciting to see that.
So the freedom that you taught me about when we first met, because I didn't understand the technology and you really broke it down for me, that's where it hit home, where I started thinking, if I had diabetes and I needed to give myself shots, or I needed to keep something cold, or I needed to regulate my own care, and now technology's entered, now it's giving data to my physician and even pharmacist. Talk to us about that beauty of this technology and the freedom that it brings to people's lives.
Yeah, so I think from my perspective, I think that insulin pumps are incredible technology, and patients benefit from that technology. But they're historically, a lot of patients have not either been offered or chosen to take an insulin pump or to get an insulin pump. Well, there's many reasons for that, but one of those reasons is perceptions about traditional insulin pumps. Well, Omnipod is anything but traditional. It's certainly innovative in its design. It's tubeless. Many people don't want to deal with tubing. But one of those innovations is going through the pharmacy. Mm-hmm. People, when they think insulin pumps, they oftentimes think medical benefit. They think durable medical supplier. As of 2018, we became a pharmacy benefit product. And that now our current innovation is exclusively available through the pharmacy. It's the only way you're going to get the Omnipod 5 is through the pharmacy. And so to us, that's part of our innovation. It's not just about the product itself. It's about how it's being delivered to patients. Why is that important? Because through medical, a person might have a sizable cost to get started on technology, which could be considered a risk to them if they're not sure about the technology. When they go through pharmacy, well, one, it's accessible within 5 miles of their house, right? We all know that. Two, the cost threshold to start that technology, the risk, if you will, of trying something new is very low. Mm-hmm. Our average copay is $50 for Omnipod. So if I need to try something new, I pay my copay if it, we know it's going to work. Mm-hmm. But for, in that person's mind, if they need to go back to what they're doing before, they've given up a copay. They didn't give up a deductible that they had to pay to get to the technology. That's another one of those barriers, and pharmacy helps us deliver on that.
Dane, is it just me, or is the device actually seeming, it's getting smaller? You guys designing it to get smaller and smaller? Because it is it's so unnoticeable. Like, there are people that I now notice it, because I look out for stuff like that because I'm a nerd. But when I'll see it on the back of their arm, and it seems smaller now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, over the years, Omnipod, you know, has been available since 2005, commercially available in terms of the form factor that it has. But, you know, over the years, they continue to, you know, to reduce the size of it, to obviously make the technology work even better. It's been a tremendous technology, but certainly size is one of those things that they've been able to, they know people don't want to wear something that's big and bulky.
Right. Exactly.
And as you observed, it's pretty not, in my experience, after a person puts it on, 30 minutes later, they kind of forget it's even there.
Exactly. So. All right. Well, we're excited to work with Omnipod. We're big fans of the tech. I know our community pharmacists and people at the APHA are also fans. Your booth has been crowded. I just want to thank you for being part of the 2024 APHA Post Show.
Yeah, I really appreciate the opportunity. Thanks so much, Todd.
Thank you.
Sebastian, Florida pharmacy owner Teresa Toll is an immediate past board of directors member of the APHA and owns the Bay Street Pharmacy, caring for Indian River County residents.
When I come to the APHA, one of the people that I have to see is Teresa Toll. I'm so excited that you're here, Teresa.
Oh, obviously, I'm very excited to be here. APHA is my favorite meeting of the year, and bias since I've been serving on the board for a very long time, but it's always great to see you
yes,
too, Todd.
Thank you so much. I love coming down to Sebastian and visiting your pharmacy when we can. You're always so busy. Sometimes I'm not able to get you. Sometimes I just pop in and see you. But tell me what's happening. Tell me what's at the top of your list right now that you really want to get some attention around. And one of the things that we'll be talking about is PRX.
Sure. So if for my own business, I think one of the things I've been focusing on in the business is looking a little bit more at long-term care.
Okay.
I think that's an area that we're trying to grow in pharmacy as a whole, our independent pharmacy. As the association, one of the big focuses for APHA has been looking at our membership model and trying to make sure that we are expanding that to make our pharmacists around the country feel more included and find a home at APHA. So we have this big bylaws change going on right now to just help us open that up and help make membership better or make our pharmacists feel like they have a place to come and connect with others that are like them. So I'm excited about that. As I step away, I've got a little more than 24 hours left in my role on the APHA board. But as I step away, I'm excited to watch how APHA implements all of that.
You know, it's really, it means a lot to me when I watch our leaders like you that put in so much for the association to support the profession. And how community pharmacy this is my 20th year in pharmacy. It's a very celebration year. It's my 15th year in podcasting. And
congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
I was so excited to see you celebrate.
Thank you.
It's been fun to watch your journey.
Oh, thank you. So APHA in that 20 years has been more inclusive than ever before of all sectors of pharmacy. And that is warming to me because I've always thought APHA has an opportunity to bring together. I see Sheila Arquette here from the NASP. I see NACDS supporting it. I see them reaching out to the NCPA. And that is exactly what I always envisioned APHA becoming. And that in and of itself shows me what the future of pharmacy is going to be. It's going to be a collective of multiple different pharmacists with different sectors, different expertise, including pharmacy technicians. And our technologists, we had a technology corner here, digital health RX corner, that had a whole collective of superstars that were working on AI and Pearls and Dr. Risa Ventaka. This has been my favorite APHA so far.
Well, that's great. I love hearing that. It's nice to see. I feel like the energy is better this year.
Yep.
Our numbers have been higher. I feel like we're kind of coming back out of the pandemic.
Yes.
So I, too, have been really excited to be here. Michael announced on Friday night at our opening session that we have the most people who this is their first annual meeting. The largest number of those. I just love to see that we're getting a lot of new people, and that's really the goal. Yeah. So I've always felt, APHA's always been my pharmacy home my whole career, which is 35 years now. I've always felt like APHA was kind of the umbrella organization. Mm-hmm. And I think even though I'm a member of NCPA and very active in that organization and others, I've always felt like APHA is trying to do that. But I agree, it feels like it's more and more.
Yep.
And our president-to-be, Alex Varkey, who will be sworn in at the end of this meeting, his theme this year is All In, One Profession United.
Wow. That's awesome.
So he just announced that this morning. So we are, I think, indeed, trying really hard to make sure that pharmacists can find a place here.
Yep.
Because I think certain segments have said, I don't really fit there.
Yes.
But we don't want it to be that way. Our theme is for every pharmacist, for all of pharmacy.
Yeah.
And that's how we want it to be. So hopefully in the coming years, more and more pharmacists will see that there really is a place for them, and not just pharmacists, pharmacy teams. So we really want the technicians to feel like they're at home here. And of course, student pharmacists are such a big part of APHA, such a big part of this meeting, and they bring so much energy as well.
As a community pharmacy owner, which is really down deep inside, that's really my favorite sector because of the ownership and the entrepreneurial aspect to it. Home care, and it is the fusion of long-term care pharmacy and home care starting to come together. When it comes together, it meets community pharmacy in the middle.
Yes.
So talk to me a little bit more about vetting out what you just said earlier about really starting to concentrate on long-term care. And when I hear a community pharmacy owner say that, I'm thinking, that's actually home care.
It is.
And it's extension of home care. The old-fashioned home care didn't necessarily involve pharmacy, but today's home care does involve pharmacy because we have remote patient monitoring. We have organizations like Happier at Home that are infusing community pharmacy with a community with a an output for policy and procedures and knowing how to run a home care business. Talk to us about the expansion of home care in community pharmacy.
Sure. So I don't know that everybody knows that you mentioned Sebastian, Florida, but Todd and I go way back.
Yeah.
I own Bay Street Pharmacy, which this is our 40th year.
Jeez, congratulations.
In Sebastian, Florida. Todd's family lives in and around my community.
Yeah.
So Todd does come to our area a lot, which is really nice. So I do get to see him more than just at professional
yes.
meetings, which I love. So never know when he's going to pop in and we're going to grab a picture. But yes, we've actually been doing packaging for assisted living and patients at home for a long time, but there is a way to do that in a manner which perhaps helps us with the financial reimbursement side.
Yes.
And then I'm also very active in CPESN, mm-hmm. and CPESN has a new initiative called Long-Term Care at Home, which is also a Medicare initiative. So we are looking to make sure that not only are we doing this for more patients, but patients will qualify for this, like under their Medicare benefit. So hopefully that gets the foot in the door where we can get to patients and help them be at home, like you said, and do a lot of these services. So packaging is a lot of that, medication synchronization, reconciling their medications, but it's also that monthly touch point too,
yep.
right? So it's that appointment-based model where we're checking in and making sure they're okay, and then maybe identifying problems early if they're not. Because if they're enrolled in our program, they're going to be touched by us at least monthly, if not more mm-hmm. often. And then, of course, delivery service to their home too.
Yep.
And as you know, I mean, when you mention the word Florida, you can't help but talk about retirees.
Right.
But our area is largely geriatric because we do have a lot of retirees. So there's a lot of need in our community, and I'm excited for my pharmacy to be really expanding that service. It's time.
Yep.
I've been very focused on professional associations, and as I step back a little bit from being so actively involved at APHA, then that's where my focus is going to go, is back to that in my business.
Well, Teresa, thank you so much for so much of your service and your time that you've put into APHA and the NCPA, and you honestly care. You want to see the profession thrive, and you want to see community pharmacies thrive, and we do as well. So thanks for being part of the APHA's 2024 Post Show.
Thank you.
And we'll see you in Nashville next year in APHA 2025.
APHA 2025 in Nashville, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bill Holmes is the CEO of RxSafe, an ITW company, pharmacy automation leaders for the community, long-term care, and specialty pharmacy markets share about giving back to the future of pharmacy.
APHA 2024, I am here with the Pharmacy Podcast Network's probably one of the longest standing sponsors and supporters of our network and publication, RxSafe. Bill Holmes, welcome to the post show.
Todd, it's great to be here, and I think you actually got it right. I am one of the oldest.
I was I'm starting to feel old myself, so I don't like that word. It's I'll say longest or duration or something. But all right, we're at the APHA, which is a little bit different of a temperament than in compared to some other conferences where focus might be just on one thing. This is kind of like the ring that rules them all in the entire profession. How does that differentiate in the mission of RxSafe?
Well, you know, Todd, it's important for us at RxSafe, and now being a part of ITW with ICON as our co-brand, mm-hmm. It's important for us to continue doing what we've always done, which is try to get to about 30, 35 trade shows a year. We do that for a lot of reasons. For the APHA in particular trade show, there's an awful lot of students here. Mm-hmm. And so when you talk about giving back to the community, the question is, how can we help educate these young folks about what they're getting into in terms of pharmacy?
Yep.
And so there's a bunch of things that come to mind. First of all, they're not... typically in the curriculum, getting an awful lot of business education, mm-hmm. Which is critical,
yep.
Especially today it's critical. Most of them have never heard the words medical at home or long-term care at home. I think that is extremely important, and I know you look at it the same way.
Yep.
So when the students come into the booth, I look at it very differently than the people I hear around me, the other vendors who say, oh my God, all these students here, I can't talk to the people I want to sell to. Well, no. You have an obligation to give back to the community,
yep.
to educate these kids. They're complete blank slates, right? So what's important to them is probably what's important to you.
Yeah.
And you need to spend some time with them, and we do. We always staff the booth with extra people because we know that's going to happen. And so we then bring them in and we ask them what their ambition in life is, what they want to do when they grow up. They're probably sitting on top of a ton of student debt. They're probably somewhere near their residency and they're trying to decide what they want to do. Most of them have no idea. So let's spend a few minutes. Let's talk about it. What would it be like to go down this path? What would it be like to go down that path? Because we serve at RxSafe all elements of the industry, from
yes.
health systems to FQHCs to independent mom and pops to institutional mail order. Where's your heart?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you want to serve? All of them are, starting from the perspective of caregiving.
6 years ago, I met a young woman named Breanne Weiss, and she was a P2. And she was listening to the podcast, so she came over to say hi. And I said, what do you think you want to do when you get out of school? And she says, I want to own my own pharmacy. I was like, okay. Well, guess what? Breanne is opening her pharmacy in May
awesome.
Of this year.
Awesome.
Up in Connecticut.
Yep.
And go UConn Huskies. and I tell you what, that was exciting that... Number one, back to the word old, that makes me feel old enough to be around long enough to see these people that are pharmacy students at the P2 level, and now Breanne is opening her pharmacy. That's exciting. And by the way, that's a lead for RxSafe, too, so we'll have to get you in touch with Dr.
Awesome.
Breanne Weiss.
Happy to.
But there's something about the pharmacy students that I've never shied away from them. I've done the opposite. We've brought a lot more attention. In this post show, we have more pharmacy students that participated in giving their vision in the APHA's post show than any other conference.
Yep. And where's the energy going to come from? Where's the diversity going to come from? Where is the new idea going to come from? I doubt it's going to come from the guy who's been behind the bench for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
I love them. They're all good people, and they're doing a great thing for the community. But, we really do have a next generation, and we do really have challenges that we haven't seen before. I actually am very optimistic about the future on behalf of these students and on behalf of the industry. You know, we did a panel at NCPA Multiple Locations Show a couple weeks ago, and we sponsored a breakfast panel with six experts in the industry. And I remember listening to Joe Williams in particular talk about this, and you always get this, oh, the DIR apocalypse, and oh my God, what am I going to do, and how am I going to survive? And his attitude is, hey, you know, you've got to be ahead of that. You've got to develop new revenue streams. You've got to do clinical things. You've got to have other billings in place. And medical at home and LTC at home called the same, called two different names. The NCPA is trying to drive it toward LTC at home, so we recognize it under one name. But it's an enormous opportunity. And one hour ago in the booth, I had a fellow looking in interested in strip packaging. And I asked him, have you heard of it? And he said, no. And he had no clue what I was talking about. But Joe sat there and said, I believe we're in the trough. We're at the bottom of this site. That there's political wind behind our backs. Mm-hmm. That, you know, RxSafe was instrumental in supporting financially the NCPA Legal Defense Fund when we went in front of the Supreme Court with the Leslie Rutledge case from Arkansas, won that 8-0. Mm-hmm. And there's things that I think are brewing that may not be very public that are, I think, going to help us overcome this challenge. I believe that while we're in a painful time, that having visibility on what the DIR fees are as you're filling a prescription is extremely important.
Yep.
And I see that now as, we're through the worst of it. You know, now we're coming into a year where I think at the end of the year, we're going to look back and go, we're a lot better off than we were before we started.
Bill Holmes, thank you so much for participating in the APHA 2024 Post Show. For those of you that want to learn more and reach out to Bill and his team, go to rxsafe.com.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank
you. The CEO of the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy, NASP, Sheila Arquette, talks about pharmacy association collaboration and leadership in our profession.
APHA 2024, this is the entire profession of pharmacy coming together. I've seen more collaboration through the national associations than ever before. I keep saying, and you've probably heard this if you're listening to the shows, that this is my 20th year in pharmacy, and I'm here with Sheila Arquette, the CEO of the NASP, the National Association of Specialty Pharmacies. Sheila, that kind of collaboration means something to me because I like seeing the associations work together. And APHA has been more collaborative now than ever before. Why are you here as representing the specialty pharmacy industry?
So Todd, I'm here not only to support our, you know, our pharmacy coalition partner, APHA, but it's always been my belief that it takes a village, right, to manage a patient, especially a specialty patient. But it's just great here to see all of the different organization, all of the different resources that are available to help pharmacists, right? Pharmacists are the medication experts, and I think we do a really great job of taking care of patients, but I think we have to do a much better job of showing the industry the value that we bring.
Yep. So when you're out there as a CEO, there's so many facets of running this business. I kind of understand it from a publisher's perspective. You're looking at taking care of your members, building CE, coming up with that certification that is the first certification to certify a specialty pharmacist. There's also the politics of it all. There's a communications piece that a CEO needs to pay attention to. There was a statement made by Mark Cuban where he very passionately got a microphone and really, you know, the video was on him. He was down in Washington, D.C. He made testimony in front of a bunch of people, and then his statement went viral, which was wonderful to hear him stand up for the pharmacy profession, stand up for independent community pharmacies. But in his frustration, he doesn't understand specialty pharmacy, because one of his statements was that the, you know, the big three PBMs have created a little niche of saying specialty pharmacy and be able to collect all this money and blah, 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 and there is no such thing as specialty pharmacy. That's absolutely wrong. And I liked what he did from a public perspective, because he did get a lot of attention on PBM reform, and it's so necessary. But specialty pharmacy is a real thing. I mean, to manage a very serious cancer disease state and treatment takes a specialty pharmacy, because there's more than the clinical. That alone is specialty. But we're talking about logistics, we're talking about delivery and cold storage, and we're talking about getting things paid for. So talk to us a little bit about that, because you and I talked before we started recording about that statement.
Sure. So, and I agree, Todd, right? Specialty pharmacy is special.
And so I think his comments have ignited now even more of a passion in me to demonstrate what it is that we do, what this industry does that is special. And you're right. When folks ask me about specialty pharmacy, I always start off with complex, right? These are complex patients. We're dealing with complex disease states, complex insurance requirements, prior authorization requirements. Oftentimes, these medications are expensive. There's financial toxicity. These patients, not to mention, right, the drug itself and then, mitigating the side effects and maximizing that patient journey, these patients need a quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. They need a champion, and that's where specialty pharmacy steps in. With that high level, that high-touch, patient-centric, coordinated care model mm-hmm. that they so desperately need, right? The last thing that you want to hear is that you've been diagnosed with cancer, mm-hmm. right? And so now, you know, you're processing this, and now we're going to put you on a therapy. Oh, geez, we don't know if your insurance covers that. We don't know what the prior authorization, we don't know if we can get it covered for you. Oh, now we have it covered. Oh, there's, you know, a copay that's too much for you. Let's see if we can help you with that. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, you know, dealing with somebody who has cancer, dispensing the medication, having them take it correctly, working through the side effects that we know they're going to experience, right? Yeah. But we want to keep you on therapy because we want to help you. We want to help you get the best possible outcome. And then taking the information that you learn and that you gather from this patient and giving it back to the folks that need it, right? The prescriber. Sometimes it's the payer, right? Yep. They have a care management team. They're working to try to, you know, maximize this patient's outcome as well. And then the pharmaceutical manufacturer, right? Oftentimes looking for data. They're still, you know, looking at the medication, looking for some real world data that they can use. So again, specialty pharmacy, that's what's special, mm-hmm. right? You're right. It's not, obviously, the dispensing of the prescription, that's huge, the transaction, but it's much more beyond that, right? And so I challenge, right, Mr. Cuban or anybody that thinks pharmacy and especially specialty pharmacy is not more than that to take a deeper look.
True. And it's not a place for a payment organization or an insurance organization, a.k.a. the PBMs, to take advantage of the incredible costs at times. And that's where I saw what was coming from his heart was, hey, you know, I see where he came from, so I've given him a pass. Not that he needs one. But, all right, so APHA 2025 is going to be in Nashville. However, coming up this year is the NASP's annual show. Talk to us a little bit about where that's at and what your theme is going to be this year.
Sure. So this year we're taking the NASP Annual Meeting and Expo to Nashville. We're really excited. Yeah. We will be at the Gaylord Opryland Resort and Convention Center, October 6th through 9th. And again, it's the focus. We don't really necessarily have a theme of our meeting, right? It's just all about bringing together the industry stakeholders so that we can learn from each other. We can share best practices. We can network. We can develop new partnerships and synergies. Mm-hmm. We can meet up with old friends and refresh some of that. But it's all about patient care. How do we optimize this patient journey? How do we work together and work smarter, not harder, right? With limited resources, with all of this reimbursement pressure, how can we help each other? Because at the end of the day, there's a patient in the middle of this who's sick and needs us.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Thank you so much for participating in our post show. I also want to say that I have such a great appreciation for NASP involving the Pharmacy Podcast Network. We love partnering with you. We will be embedded in the NASP's booth in the center of the exhibits. Make sure that you schedule time to give us your vision of making specialty pharmacy better for our patients all the time. Sheila, this has been a wonderful treat for me to be able to see you here and have you be part of the show.
Todd, I can't thank you enough, right? You and I were talking, you've been a partner of mine since I started at NASP back in 2017. We very much appreciate your support, getting that message out, right? What truly is special about specialty pharmacy, and we're excited to have you embedded in our booth and chatting with people. They love it.
Yes.
And it's great just to get all of the industry perspectives and learn why people are there with us, right? And so we're excited to welcome you in the PPN in Nashville.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, a shout out to Dr. Alex and Mark Cuban, who run Mark Cuban Cost Plus Drugs. Come to Nashville and come to the NASP and come see what specialty pharmacy is really all about and help us make it better.
Exactly. Right. We can use you just like we can use everybody else that will be coming as well. We'd love to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Neovations, known as Neomed, founder and CEO and pharmacist Kunal Amin, shares his vision for better disease management through technology and education.
At APHA 2024, one of the things that I like is meeting new people, and we've met a bunch of new people. If you're listening to the post show, I thank you for listening. If you are still listening, please share this on your social media, whether that's Instagram or LinkedIn or even Twitter. Just share it with another pharmacist and let them understand that the American Pharmacists Association 2024 is transforming along with the need in pharmacists to be there for patients and be there more for patients, especially some of these clinical outcomes attached to disease states, and how a pharmacist understanding of medications is extremely unique. I'm here in the studio here at the APHA's 2024 booth with Kunal Amin. He's president, associate professor of pharmacy practice with NeoMed, Neovations. I love Neovations. Kunal, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Todd. I appreciate the introduction. So funny story, Neovations, right? So we're part of NeoMed. The way that name came out, and I was a little bit a part of making in that name as well, Northeast Ohio, and Vations is the innovation part of it. So I'm an entrepreneur, and I think that is how we came up with the name, and very proud of that.
That is very cool. All right, what is Neovations? What do you do in the realm of pharmacy?
Absolutely. So Neovations Pharmacy Services, we started a few years ago, was a startup company, a consulting services company, and the majority of the work that we do there is based on medication therapy management. We do a lot of immunizations as well. As you know, that the practice for pharmacists has evolved as well. We have been given a lot of clinical work that is based that we do is based on immunizations. Okay. And medication management, disease management, things like that. So we do a lot of those things, and we also do a lot of continuing education provision. Most of that is in live sessions.
Great. Talk to me about a condition or a disease state that Neovations has had a lot of success in.
You know what? That is a fantastic question. So one of the biggest things that we do is manage diabetes medication therapy. Okay. And we have some collaborative practice agreements with a group of physicians that we work with. And our pharmacists have been really highly successful in getting those A1C numbers down for our patients. And that is one of our services that we're very proud of.
Now, how are you employing technology? We're here at the Orlando Convention Center, and in the exposition, we see Dexcom, we see Omnipod. What kind of technology is Neovations leveraging to bring more data in and give more vision to the physician pharmacist teams?
Absolutely. You know, Todd, I'm glad that you asked that question because a lot of times, you know, technology can be just as limited to sometimes what we see is paid by the insurance provider. So we are a consulting services, as you can see. So we work with payers, we work with patients, we work with providers to make sure that we implement the right medication, right device for. You know, for example, for this diabetes medication management, we use continuous glucose monitoring. We have used, you know, devices from Dexcom as well as Freestyle Libre. So we use the device that is covered by the patient's insurance, work with the provider, and interpret those results depending on whichever product it might be.
If someone's listening to the post show and they want to learn more about Neovations, how do they reach out and learn more about you?
You know, they can go directly to our website, and they can go to our website, ask for, or, you know, there are contact us information as well. So we're more than willing to, you know, talk to them about the services that we provide there as well. Also talk to them about business opportunities, you know. So we are still in the startup phase there, and growth phase, I should say, not really startup phase, but, you know, we would love to talk to other people trying to implement services to make patient care more robust. We already know that you know, pharmacists are very accessible, and people talk about pharmacists being accessible all the time. But how can pharmacists not just be accessible, but also be the best that they can be in the health profession that provide these services? And Neovations Pharmacy Services can provide that.
Makes a lot of sense. If you're curious, take a look at neomed.edu. That's neomed.edu. Kunal, we wish you the most of success. We hope to see you at APHA 2025 in Nashville.
And I surely will be. Thank you, Todd.
Yep.
Community pharmacist and associate professor of pharmacy at West Virginia School of Pharmacy, Dr. Gretchen Garofoli.
Guess who I ran into at the APHA 2024? Gretchen Garofoli. Dr. Garofoli, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Todd. How are you?
Good. So 4,000 attendees, record-setting attendee for our pharmacy students. This has been a very special, a very jam-packed information APHA 2024. Talk to me about your experience here.
It's been a wonderful meeting. I wasn't able to attend last year, so getting to catch up with all of my pharmacy family members and getting to be re-energized by the pharmacists and student pharmacists and everything that they're doing to advance the profession of pharmacy forward.
I feel the representation of our community pharmacists here more than ever. Dr. Teresa Toll is coming off of the board, and she says that she's just invigorated about the attention that that community's getting. You are a community pharmacist. Talk to us a little bit about your patient base, where you're located, so our listeners know who Dr. Gretchen Garofoli is.
So I practice in Morgantown, West Virginia. I'm an associate professor at West Virginia University School of Pharmacy. I also practice in an independent community pharmacy in Morgantown. So I get to do immunizations. That's where my primary focus is. And really getting out into the community is a focus of mine. So I love to go to the senior centers and talk to our senior patients about whatever topic they might be interested, whether it's a vaccination or whether it's diabetes management. And so bringing the healthcare to our patients rather than waiting for them to come to us. And I'm very passionate about getting out there and making sure that the needs of our patients are met.
So I just said that there was a record attendance of our pharmacy students. I love pharmacy students. My colleague on the Pharmacy Podcast Network, Kevin Jones, is really investing in pharmacy students. We're going to go to WVU. We show up at Mark Garofoli's classroom several times. He's obviously the pain pod, the pain guy on the Pharmacy Podcast Network. We're working with Pitt, Duquesne University. What gets you excited? You must see them, obviously, all the time. What gets you excited about being part of the future through them, the future of our profession?
Yes, I love working with student pharmacists, and I'm an APHA ASP advisor at our School of Pharmacy, and so I've been working with our students here at the meeting and getting to see them so excited about the profession and taking new ideas back home so that we can do things that they maybe learned about a school in California doing, and we can implement that in West Virginia. And so just learning from everybody and learning best practices so that we can go back and take care of our patients. And it's always so exciting for me to see our students in this environment, because right now they get to see what all of their faculty members get to do on a national level as well, which I think is important for them. That we're not just this person that they see in Morgantown, but they get to see us interacting with people at a national level as well.
Gretchen, thank you so much for being part of the APHA 2024 post show. Got to get some dinner with you and Mark sometime and
absolutely
just go hang out.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank you.
And now, here's the CEO of the American Pharmacists Association's, Dr. Michael Hoag, closes our press coverage for this empowering podcast series, the APHA Podcast Post Show. Don't forget to join us in Nashville, Tennessee for the APHA 2025 next March.
What an amazing opportunity to be part of the American Pharmacists Association 2024 annual convention. I am here with the CEO, Dr. Michael Hoag. Michael, this has been an honor for us to be part of this.
Well, thank you for being here. I mean, you're capturing the essence of the meeting, and you know, this is I'm just pumped up. I'm energized. It's such a great time. I mean, our attendees have been positive, excited, full of energy. It's just the vibe here has been unreal. It's been like nothing I've experienced in pharmacy and since pre-pandemic. I mean, yes. The energy level has just been tremendous. Yeah.
I feel like we've healed. Yeah. I've been documenting this profession for 15 years through podcasting. And we had some really hard times, you know, 2-3 years ago. This has been a healing, and this has been a celebration of our profession. And I've picked up that vibe and that positivity that's been coming through. So it's been exciting.
Well, you know, APHA has been for me in the last 32 years home. And you know, I think about this. Tell a little story real quick.
Yeah.
When I go home to see my mom and dad in Southern Illinois, you know, I'm just Bonnie and David's son, and I can go home and be who I am. I can put my feet up in the recliner and relax, and I can be myself. I can be my authentic self, my genuine self. And, you know, we need a place like that in pharmacy. We need a place where we can go be, we can call home.
Yep.
We need a place where we can go be our genuine self and not be judged or have any concerns about, you know, what others are going to say.
Yep.
And be uplifted and be encouraged. And so that's what APHA is. We are for every pharmacist and for all of pharmacy because we want to be your home. And, you know, maybe you've just not felt like you've had a home in pharmacy for a long time. This is it. Mm-hmm. Welcome home. You're welcome to be here. You're welcome to be your authentic self. Nobody here is going to judge you. And we just want to be uplifting and encouraging to you. And I think that's what this meeting has really been all about. Is just helping pharmacists see that they're appreciated. We advocate every day for the things that are important, but we just want people to be at home.
Just in case there are some pharmacists and technicians that weren't able to make the conference this year, talk to us about how many people have attended. Do you have any of the metrics of how we did this year?
Yeah, we've got about 4,000 attendees this year, so it's you know, definitely not back to pre-pandemic levels, but our attendance is up and has gone up every year.
Yeah.
We're excited next year for Nashville. We're going to be in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's, you know, Nashville is a great city to have a conference in because it's very drivable for a huge portion of the United States.
True.
It's a great drivable city. And, of course, Nashville's been growing at a record pace. But we'll be right downtown. There's a lot to see and do in downtown Nashville, and we think it's going to be even bigger next year.
There has been a theme here this entire time, including the two keynote speakers that we have on that people just listened to in the previous episodes of the APHA podcast, and that is the theme of leadership.
Yeah.
And you are our leader. You are the CEO of the organization. What does leadership mean to you? What does that mean to become a pharmacist that is leadership-driven?
Well, you know, first of all, I would just say that every pharmacist is a leader. And, you know, leadership is not about your elected position or, you know, maybe even the job that you have. Leadership is about the influence that you have day in and day out with the people that are around you. And we have to lead from where we're planted. We have to lead from where we stand. And, you know, whether it's leading your family or it's leading your workplace or leading your community, or maybe it is leading your profession or your state or whatever, you just have to take the assignment that you've been given at the moment and you have to stand up and say, okay, how am I going to make an impact? How am I going to make a difference? And you just hope that you leave things better than you found them. But all of us do that. All of us lead. And maybe we don't see ourselves as leaders, but we really are. Yep. Every one of us is a leader.
Yep. Ryan Leake said it. He said when the patient is standing there at the counter looking at you, you may be the only person that asks them, so how are you feeling today?
Yeah.
You know, and that in itself is the beginning of leadership.
That's amazing. I mean, just caring about people. We kind of gotten so busy and so hectic, and the pressures on pharmacists and everybody else on the healthcare team have been so intense because of the shortage of healthcare providers we have and the inadequate staffing. It's been difficult. And, you know, I think we have to just pause and say, wait a minute. There is hope. There is something good. There is something in front of us. And, you know, Ryan was just a phenomenal speaker. What a great inspiration. So, yeah, it was great.
We also had Carrie on. Carrie Lorenz is an F-14 previous fighter, a fighter jet pilot. And she also just amplified how important leadership was. We talked about debriefing, which is something I'm going to take back to the Pharmacy Podcast Network's publication, and that is being able to come back after an event like the APHA, getting your team together, whether that's a team of 10, 100, 200 people, and saying, how'd we do? What can we do to be better? And just celebrate that time together.
Oh, absolutely. We got to celebrate. But, you know, one of the things that I heard this weekend, and I can't remember exactly which speaker said which because I am just, my cup is running over with facts and figures and the feelings that I've had this weekend. But what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? If you knew you couldn't fail, what would you do? What's holding you back from being everything that you are supposed to be? And it's probably us. We hold ourselves back. It's us. We're afraid of failing. We're fearful of taking that next step because it's uncertain. And I think that piece of inspiration was so good for me. And a lot of pharmacists, I've heard a lot of pharmacists say, "Hey, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail?"
Yeah.
It's incredible. And if we all would think about that, that puts us in a positive trajectory to say, okay, then maybe I will step out and do something that I haven't done before. Maybe I will take this risk. Maybe I will take this chance. So, this has been a phenomenal meeting. And I'd really like to say thank you to all of the exhibitors. Our exhibit hall has been packed.
It is packed
with people. The companies that have been here have done a great job sharing information, sharing facts, and supporting pharmacists and pharmacy. We're just very grateful for that support and for their being here. I'm very happy for, thankful for all of the attendees that actually came to the meeting. I think we had a record number of first-time attendees this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the energy, I've had many, many pharmacists come up to me that said, you know, I haven't been to an APHA meeting since I was a student. And I don't think I'm ever going to miss another one because this one was over the top exciting. So I just, you know, I think that that's probably just a sign of that it's important that we do these kinds of things. And I hope that folks will just go ahead and mark their calendars for March 22nd of next year and be in Nashville.
Nashville APHA 2025. You don't want to miss it. I want to give a shout out to the APHA team. Robert Hodges and his communications team, you guys are absolutely amazing. Thank you for making us part of this and this celebration. Michael, thank you. This has been a wonderful 2024 post-show. And from the bottom of our hearts, we can't wait to see you in Nashville.
Sounds great, Todd. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.